So good morning, everyone. So let's start again with a short meditation to prepare ourselves, prepare the body and prepare the mind. So finding a nice comfortable posture. As an act of loving kindness for yourself, allow your awareness to descend into the body, simply becoming aware of sensations throughout the body, and using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension you may find in any part of the body. Bringing your awareness to the area of the face and softening and relaxing all the muscles in the face. In this way, allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. And if you find it helpful, you can take 3 slow, deep breaths, maintaining awareness of sensations throughout the body as you breathe. allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to regulate or control the breath in any way. Then preparing the mind, setting it in a state of ease and relaxation by not dwelling in the past, not anticipating the future, simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Loving kindness is the wish for ourselves and others to have happiness in its causes. And we can begin by cultivating loving kindness, focusing on ourselves. Our minds are naturally pure. No matter how much mental afflictions, such as anger and jealousy, craving, anxiety, depression, no matter how much of these sorts of mental afflictions we have in our mind, they are just like dirt covering the surface of our mind. And underneath these mental afflictions is the natural purity of our mind, our Buddha nature. So imagine this inner purity of your mind in the form of a small, white, radiant sphere of light in the center of your chest at the level of your heart. then arouse the thought, how wonderful it would be if I had happiness and its causes. May I be truly well and happy. And then with each out-breath, imagine immeasurable rays of light radiating out from the sphere of light at your heart, filling and saturating your entire body and mind, and transforming into everything you need to be happy. So with each out-breath, breathe out the light of loving kindness, sending to yourself whatever you need to be happy. And then imagine that you've now found the genuine happiness that you seek and take joy in this. And just as you wish to be happy, so does everyone else. So now, next bring to mind someone close to you, a loved one. And imagine them very clearly in front of you. And then arouse the thought, how wonderful it would be if they had happiness and its causes. May you be truly well and happy. And then with each out-breath, imagine immeasurable rays of light radiating out from your heart, filling and saturating their entire body and mind, imagining that the light transforms into everything they need to be happy. So with each out-breath, breathe out the light of loving kindness, sending them whatever they need to be happy. imagine that they've now found the true happiness that is their heart's desire. And take delight in this. And then allow your field of loving kindness to expand out to the person seated next to you. They are just like yourself in wanting to be happy. So arouse the thought, how wonderful it would be if they had happiness and its causes. May you be truly well and happy. And then with each out-breath, imagine immeasurable rays of light radiating out from the sphere of light at your heart, filling their entire body and mind. Imagining that the white light transforms into everything they need to be happy. So with each out-breath, breathe out the light of loving kindness, sending them whatever they need to be happy. And now release all appearances and simply allow the mind to come to rest. Simply rest in awareness itself. Simply become aware of being aware. So let's begin by reviewing a little bit what we've covered so far. So we are here in engaging in what's called a shamatha retreat. So remember, shamatha is a concentration practice. It's a practice of developing our attention skills. And the goal of shamatha practice, of course, is to cultivate a calm, clear, focused mind. It's one of the core practices of all Buddhist traditions. And it's the minimum level of concentration that we actually need to cultivate in the spiritual path. Because from a Buddhist perspective, the underlying source of all of our suffering is our mistaken view of reality, that we misunderstand how we exist and how the world around us exists. And to overcome that, we need to develop wisdom. We need to come to realize the nature of reality. But here we need to, of course, come to realize this directly, not just intellectually understanding the nature of reality. We need to be able to come to realize directly in meditation the nature of reality. To be able to do this, of course, we need a very stable and clear mind. We need the mind of shamatha. So from a Buddhist perspective, then this practice of shamatha is very essential. Not only is it the basis then of this wisdom practice, the vipassana practice, but of course it's the basis of all other practices as well. If we really want to fully develop or cultivate things like loving kindness and compassion, of course also we need a very stable, clear and focused mind for those qualities to really penetrate our mind, to really transform our mind. And similarly, of course, this practice will help us in our daily life to have that very calm, clear mind, much less stress in our life, much more effective in everything we do, much better mental balance, much less mental afflictions, also a lot of health benefits as well. So in this practice, we saw that we are trying to cultivate these three qualities here of relaxation, stability, and clarity. And that relaxation is really the basis of the other two qualities of stability and clarity. And that particularly in our modern society, where we really tend to have a lot of tension in our lives, a lot of stress and so forth, then we need to really make sure in this practice and in all practices that the foundation of all meditation practice is a relaxed body and a relaxed mind. Because if we apply too much tension in our practices, then we're going to have all sorts of difficulties. In fact, as a beginner, probably most of the difficulties you experience in meditation is simply because you're too tight, you're too tense, you're trying too hard. We need to really learn to relax. And so if we can really put some emphasis on relaxation, relaxing the body, relaxing the mind, then this will provide a very good basis for cultivating these other two qualities of stability and clarity. Stable mind, of course, means to be able to focus on a given object without becoming distracted. But also we want to be able to focus in a very clear way, overcoming dullness. So by cultivating these three qualities of relaxation, stability and clarity, then we can really begin to cultivate this very calm, clear, focused mind, the mind of shamatha. And in this retreat, of course, we are primarily focusing on three objects as suitable objects for this practice. As we saw already, in this shamatha practice, there are many different objects that are suitable to use. And as we saw already, the general recommendation is to use the object that works best for you. And probably for many of us, that is going to be the breath, because there are a lot of advantages for using the breath in this practice. And so therefore, for the first 3 days, we're focusing on the breath. On the first day, we looked at the full body practice, simply noticing sensations anywhere in the body associated with the breath. This is particularly useful for working with relaxation, particularly together with the corpse posture, Shavasana posture. So this, of course, is what we're doing each evening. We're working with this practice to help work with relaxation. Also, it's also a very good way of transitioning into sleep, of course, in the evening as well. And then yesterday we looked at the second variation of the breath practice, the abdomen, focusing on the area of the abdomen, a fairly large area of focus, therefore very useful for stabilizing the mind. And today we're going to be working with the nostrils, focusing at the entrance of the nostrils here. Of course, a very much smaller area of focus, and because of that, that can be very helpful for improving the clarity of our attention. And then tomorrow we're going to move on to the second object, the object of the mind, is simply observing the mind and whatever mental events arise within our mind. Now, many of you will probably find this more challenging than using the breath as the object, because it's a more subtle object, and also we don't tend to have the habit of observing the mind. We have a very strong habit of always getting caught up in our mental events. Soon as something comes up in our mind, a thought, an emotion or memory, we immediately identify with that, we follow it, we get caught up in our stories. So many of us don't really have the habit of simply observing these mental events. But actually, of course, if we can really put some emphasis or some effort into this practice, we can reap enormous benefits. Because now we really tend to be the slaves of our mind. We're often dominated by all these mental events, and they often really overwhelm us. And we really suffer a lot because of this. And so if we put some effort into this practice, we, instead of being the slaves of our mind, we will really become the masters of our mind. So we're going to be looking at this practice tomorrow. And then the third variation, the shamatha with no object, or the awareness of awareness practice, we're going to be looking at the day after tomorrow. This is even a little bit more subtle than the mind practice, but also this has enormous potential benefits in our modern society, and we're going to be looking at that practice the day after tomorrow. And then we saw that within this practice, we saw in the shamatha chart that we progress through these 9 stages in practice by overcoming the 5 faults using the 8 antidotes. And we saw that the first fault of practice is simply laziness. So, of course, to overcome laziness, then the first antidote we saw was faith. And that is to reflect on the benefits of the practice. Because if we don't really see any benefit in the practice, of course, then we're going to be very lazy when it comes to doing the practice. But if we can really reflect on the benefits of this practice and really appreciate the benefits, the enormous benefits that this practice will bring us, then we're going to have a lot of faith in this practice that it will really benefit us. And then we'll end up with the second antidote, aspiration. We'll have a lot of aspiration. We'll want to do the practice. And then, of course, if we want to do the practice, we're going to put effort into the practice, which is the third antidote. And the more effort we put into the practice, we'll have the fourth antidote, this idea of pliancy, this idea of flexibility or serviceability of body and mind. And we're going to talk about what that really means a little bit more later in the retreat. And then, of course, the second fault we need to overcome is forgetfulness, and that is forgetting the instructions, but also simply forgetting the object. So, of course, there the antidote is mindfulness. Mindfulness is the primary tool we use in this practice. And remember, here in the Buddhist context, mindfulness is simply defined as our ability or faculty of being able to hold the object, to remember the object, to not become, allow ourselves to become distracted. And then, of course, the next two faults were the two faults of dullness and distraction, or laxity and excitement. And so the antidote to these two, of course, is introspection, the second main tool we use in this practice. Introspection is quality control. That is simply monitoring our mindfulness. How is our mindfulness going? Are we still on the object, or are we now starting to become dull or distracted? So introspection is like a little spy in the corner of the mind that is monitoring our mindfulness, monitoring if we are becoming dull or distracted. And if we notice that we've become dull or distracted, then simply to reapply mindfulness, to really refocus on the object. And then we saw that the next fault, the fourth fault, was what's called non-application. Non-application, of course, means that we've recognized that we've either drifted into dullness or distraction and we don't do anything about it. So, of course, this is a fault. And so the antidote there we saw was application, means fix it. So if we find ourselves drifting into dullness and distraction, then reapply mindfulness. And then the fifth fault, what was called over-application. Over-application is when we are actually focusing quite well on the object, but we're unnecessarily adjusting our focus. So that is a fault. That will become more a problem later in when we progress in the practice. It's not really a big problem as a beginner, because we tend to be always drifting into dullness and distraction, needing to correct it. And of course, the antidote to that is equanimity. Equanimity here means simply leave the mind as it is. It's nice and balanced. Don't unnecessarily adjust your attention. So these were the five faults and eight antidotes that we apply to progress along the stages of shamatha. And we saw that beginning yesterday evening that we have these nine stages that we move through on the way to shamatha. And yesterday evening, of course, we looked at the first two stages of practice. And we saw there, really, that in the first two stages of practice, the normal experience is that we are really just heavily distracted, heavily dull. We're very rarely on the object, and that we are constantly coming back to the object and being distracted for quite some long periods of time. And that actually by the second stage of the practice, the mind is starting to settle down a little bit. We're starting to be able to focus a little bit longer on the object, maybe up to a minute or two, before we become distracted or completely dull. So these were the first two stages of the practice that we looked at yesterday evening. So now we're going to go back into the practice of focusing on the nostrils. So maybe we can, just to repeat what we did yesterday, read a little bit about that practice again from Alan Wallace's book, just to refresh our mind on what we did yesterday afternoon. So that is on page 46. So just to remind ourselves a few essential points from this practice before we go back into the practice. So he says the following on page 46. Mentally, the initial emphasis in shamatha practice is on relaxation, which can be induced by attending to the sensations of breathing throughout the body. The second emphasis is on stability of attention, and for this it can be helpful to observe the sensations of breathing in the region of the belly. So that's what we've already seen. Then, having established a foundation of relaxation and stability, we shift emphasis to cultivating vividness of attention, or clarity is another word. Vividness is another word for clarity. It is crucially important that stability is not gained at the expense of relaxation, and that the increase of vividness does not coincide with a decrease of stability. The relationship among these three qualities can be likened to the roots, trunk, and foliage of a tree. As your practice grows, the roots of relaxation go deeper, the trunk of stability gets stronger, and the foliage of vividness or clarity reaches higher. In this practice session, shift the emphasis to vividness or clarity. You do this by elevating the focus of attention and directing it to a subtler object. Direct your attention to the tactile sensations of your breath at the apertures of your nostril or above your upper lip, wherever you feel the in and out flow of your breath. So remember here, there's these two options, either actually at the actual entrance of the nostrils or this area above the upper lip, whichever you find easier to notice sensations. Elevating the focus of attention helps to induce vividness, and attending to a subtler object enhances that further. Observe these sensations at the gateway of the respiration, even between breaths. There is an ongoing flow of tactile sensations in the area of the nostrils and upper lip, so sustain your attention there as continuously as possible. So remember again to maintain awareness of sensations throughout the entire cycle of each breath. And even between the in and out breath, of course, there are still sensations going on here. So sustain your attention the entire cycle as much as possible. If the breath becomes so subtle that you can't detect the sensations of its flow, quiet your mind and observe more carefully. As you arouse the vividness of attention, eventually the sensations of the breath will become evident again. So again, if you don't really notice any sensations here, don't clamp down, don't tighten your focus. Just remain patient, remain alert, and just wait. And then the more you just simply be patient and observe here attentively, you'll start to slowly pick up sensations. On the periphery of your awareness, you may still note other sensations throughout the body, as well as sounds and so on. Just let them be without trying to block them out, and focus your attention single-pointedly on the sensations around the apertures of the nostrils. So again, if you notice any sort of distractions, any sorts of noises and so forth, don't try to block that out, because then you're just going to get frustrated. And if you get distracted, of course, as with any distraction, simply let go of the distraction and come back to the breath. And then he goes on to say, count your breaths if you find this helpful. So, again, we can use this if we find this helpful. If you find that you're really getting distracted quite a lot, or you're just getting completely spaced out, then counting the breaths can be helpful to stabilize the mind. Some of you may find that helpful, some of you may not. If you find it helpful, then bring it in when you find yourself getting heavily distracted to help stabilize the mind. Arouse your faculty of introspection so that you quickly note whether excitation or laxity has arisen, and take the necessary steps to balance the attention when such problems occur. So again, when you notice that you become dull or distracted, then simply reapply the mindfulness. And we can do this balancing act on each breath to help balance the mind, that the out-breath, of course, is a natural time to relax, release distractions, and return to the object. And the in-breath is a very natural opportunity to arouse and refresh the focus to overcome dullness. So we can do this balancing on each breath. So that's a little bit the practice again that we already did yesterday afternoon. So what we're going to do now, of course, is to go back into the practice We'll do one 24-minute session, focusing at the entrance of the nostrils. Okay, so finding a nice comfortable posture. You begin, as always, by preparing the body, setting it into a state of relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. So while keeping the back nice and straight, allow the entire body to become completely relaxed and completely at ease. And keeping the body as still as possible, avoiding any unnecessary moving or fidgeting. Allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. and setting the mind in a state of ease and relaxation. Letting go of any hopes or fears, worries or concerns about the past or the future. Letting go of all of these things and simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Narrow your focus and focus on the sensations of the breath at the entrance of the nostrils. Maintaining that ongoing flow of mindfulness of the sensations of the breath throughout the entire cycle of each in and out breath. breathing to flow naturally, not trying to control or force the breath in any way. Keeping all the muscles in the face soft and relaxed. All the muscles around the eyes soft and relaxed.